This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, Romans 1 and 17, go with me there, talking from the subject of walking in great expectation.
Walking in great expectation.
Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles.
Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles.
What you expect, you will experience.
Everybody say, what I expect,
I will experience.
All right, Romans 1 and 17,
there it is up on the screen. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith,
as it is written, the just shall live, how, class?
By faith.
By your paycheck.
By faith.
Okay, by how much money you have in savings?
By faith.
By if somebody told you they can help you.
By faith.
Bible didn't say any of those things, right? The Bible says that the just, those of us that have been declared righteous because of the blood of the Lamb, that we, watch this, that we live by faith. And faith is not faith is not like a spare tire that you only go to in case of emergency. You know, you don't really use your spare tire that much. Some of you all probably don't know if there's enough air in your spare tire, and you might need to check it tomorrow. You got it? But that is not how we use faith. The Bible teaches us that we live by faith. So the writer says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I want you to catch this. It says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That word revealed just means seen, shown, or understood. So the righteousness of God is seen, shown, or understood. Watch this now. As I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith, because the writer teaches us that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. It is the order of God that our faith be ever increasing. So now the writer is teaching us that as the righteousness of God is seen, shown, or understood, as I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith. So now what I have to do is I have to back up and understand, okay, well, what does the word righteousness mean? And when you look at the word righteousness in the Greek is dikaiosune. It means integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. This deals with the nature of God, who he is, and how he feels about us. So anytime I begin to understand the righteousness of God, this deals with God's very own nature, who God is, and how he feels about me. So the Bible tells me the nature of God, who he is, and how he feels about me, it is seen, shown, or understood as I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith. So when, has God blessed anybody in the room? Anybody in the room ever went from one level of faith to the next level of faith? Anybody in the room was believing for something, and even when God did it, it was like it surprised you, it amazed you, it excited you, right? It could have been a blessing, it could have been a healing in your body, it could have been a promotion, it could have been something that God did for your child, and it seems like it boosted you from one level of faith to the next level of faith. And the Bible says anytime that happens, you just saw the nature of God and who he is and how he feels about you. And every time you move from one level of faith to the next level of faith, and every time God blesses you, and every time God heals you, and every time God protects you, and every time God does anything for you, you have now seen the righteousness of God, or who God is and how he feels about you, because you move from one level of faith to the next level of faith. All right, now when we begin to understand faith is a two-sided coin. You have acting on one side, you have believing on the other. You got acting on one side, you have believing on the other, but believing is key. Everybody say believing is key.
Believing is key,
because believing is kind of what separates the men from the boys, so to speak. Mark 9:23, a very, very familiar passage of scripture. I love this scripture. This is one of our foundational texts that we use when we first started the ministry. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so Jesus says that if you can just believe, not some things, but all things become possible. The reason why it's only, how he says, the reason why for some it is only some things are possible is because that is all they believe for. But the Bible says that all things become possible to the degree that I believe. All right? So possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning, if I can understand this thing, or if I can just make sense of it. No, because it has to do with the higher realm. So it's not just the level of my thinking. That is why the writer says, your ways are not my ways, and neither are your thoughts mine. He says, because mine are higher than yours. So you're not going to come down to my, you know, way of thinking, or I'm not going to come down to your way of thinking. He says, you've got to come up to my way of thinking. I'm not going to come down to your level of doing things. You've got to come up to my level of doing things. So possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. Possibilities for me are defined by how I can believe. So if I can believe, it becomes possible for me. Watch this. And it doesn't matter if no one else is believing for what I'm believing for. As long as I believe it and I can find the promise in the word, it becomes possible for me. And so now that puts the ball totally in your court, all right? Biblical believing is totally separate, is totally different from secular believing. You have biblical believing, but you have secular believing. You got saved believing God's way. And let's just kind of walk through this. Romans 10 and 9, we know it. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, what's going to happen? I shall be saved, right? So, let's do this exercise. Exercise works real good because I'm going to tell you what to do and when to do it. All right. How many in the room believe in God? Just put your hand up if you believe in God. How many with your physical eyes have ever seen him? You can put your hands down. All right. how many believe in heaven? How many with your physical body ever been to heaven? Put your hands on. All right, praise the Lord. All right, I had to do this because early on in my ministry, you know, people would keep their hands up and want to tell me testimonies, but praise the Lord. how many believe that once you get saved, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many ever seen the book? Okay, let me show you the difference between biblical believing and secular believing. You, based on what you, what we just went through, you basically showed me that you put your trust in a God that you've never seen to take you to a place that you've never been. And you know that once, watch this, you have given your life to Christ and start walking out this Christian life, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life that you've never seen. Watch this. All because you have faith in what the Word of God tells you. So that is biblical believing. You got it? And what happens is, because by grace are we saved through faith, it is the gift of God, you know, so that no one boasts. Isn't that what the Bible says? So now, how many in the room know you're saved? Like, have no doubt about it. What if somebody comes and knocks on your door tomorrow and tells you, I need to spend 10 minutes with you to explain to you why you are not really saved? You don't want to hear anything that they have to say. You're probably not going to, invite them into your house. Am I right about it? Prayerfully, you won't do anything that's unchristian-like. You understand what I'm saying? But you'll nicely tell them, no, thank you. I don't want to go down that route, right? And so you already know how to believe God's way because you know that you're saved. Well, just the same way that you know that you're saved, you got to know that you're healed. You got to know that you're blessed. You got to know that you're protected. You got to know that you're redeemed. Because watch this, all the promises of God are yes and amen in the Word of God, and I can experience them to the degree that I believe is possible for me. So I'm never moved by what I see, only by what I believe. So even if I see a doctor's report that says, you know, that I've got this issue and that issue, and that's okay because I have no problem with doctors. God gave us doctors. Thank God for tests. We need tests so that we can figure out what's going on, so we can figure out how to pray, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? Thank God for medicine, because if the medicine will fix it, I will take the medicine. If they say I need to do surgery, I don't have any fear. A lot of people want to get real spiritual. I'm not taking a surgery, you know, because God, no, you just scared. You just need to get in faith and take the surgery. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so I've got to walk this thing out. Well, how can you be so bold about it? Because it's the same boldness I have based on Romans 10 and 9 that I know that I'm saved because I did what the Bible said to do, which is the same thing whether I go to Isaiah or Peter that tells me that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I am already healed. You got it? So now even if my body, watch this, has some situations going on, on. I'm not going to, watch this, I'm not going to succumb to what's going on in my body. I'm going to believe what the word of God says. So now I'm going to walk out my healing. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I thank you that the healing virtue of Jesus is flowing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet right now. In the name of Jesus, I command my body to line up with the word of God. I declare that I'm not the sick trying to get healed, but I'm the healed resisting sickness and disease. You got it? I'm walking that out. Then I wake up the next day, I feel some pain. What do I say? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that he took 39 stripes, and by his stripes I'm already healed. Because if I keep saying what the word says, and keep saying what the word says, and keep saying what the word says, I am going to see the word manifest in my life. You got it? And it's the discipline of no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody's saying, I'm going to stick with the word. Think about it. The word has got me where I am this far. Right? So that's the difference between biblical believing and secular believing. It is the ability to accept God's word as fact, even though I don't have any sense realm evidence. It's having this confident assurance without intimidation from the sense realm. You got it? Because I understand, you know, there's going to be some times where it don't look good to the natural eye, or it don't feel good. You got it? But we walk by faith and not by sight. All right. So I want to give you three simple components tonight. Three simple components. I'm going to talk to you about the component of confidence, the component of confession, and the component of consistency. Everybody say the component of confidence, the component of confession, and the component of consistency. All right. Y'all were a little quiet. Make sure that your neighbor has the component of confidence, the component of confession, and the component of consistency. Make sure they are not on the Chipotle app trying to order dinner for after. All right, y'all ready to go? All right, here we go. Number one, component of confidence. Go with me to Ephesians 3 and 20. I'll be there in a minute. The component of confidence. Our confidence is in him. All right? Paul says, in him I live, in him I move, and in him I have my being. Right? So whenever, you got to get this, whenever I step out on faith, it's never based on my ability, it's always based on God's ability. Because even though I'm not able, it's okay, God is. That is why he says, let the weak say I'm strong, and let the poor say I'm rich. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's okay if I don't know everything, because he does. You got it? And and Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. And to the degree that I will allow him to lead me and to guide me, you know, he will take me everywhere I need to go, and he'll never lead me astray. So my confidence is in him. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Worketh in us. Talking about the Holy Spirit that's already at work in me. So this scripture teaches me that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of my present thinking. So whatever I'm thinking, okay, all right, whatever I'm thinking, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. Anybody, whether you started in January or you picked up in March or you just made up your mind last week, have some goals that, hey, by the end of the year, this is what I'm believing for. Anybody got some things that they're believing for? And you believe in God to do something, you know, whether it's financially, maybe it's something that you want to buy, maybe it's something in your body, maybe it's something in your marriage, maybe it's something in your family, you know. So I just want you to think, I just want you to think about whatever it is that you want God to do, and I want you in your mind to see it already done. Okay, you see it already done, right? See, and when you see it already done, you ought to have a smile on your face. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's already done, right? And so now when you see whatever it is already come to pass, already, you know, and you got to understand, oh, I'm going a whole nother level, but I might as well. See, just keep that right there. Just keep it in your mind, right? Remember Ephesians 3 and 20. Mark teaches us that when I pray, I've got to believe, I receive, and I shall have it, right? So when do I believe, I receive? The moment that I pray. So the moment that I pray, like I prayed a minute ago, Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. I believe I receive my total healing right now. Even, watch this, you got to get this. Even if my body, watch this, has not totally lined up with the word of God, and it has not yet manifested, that ain't my problem. You understand what I'm saying? That's my body's problem, because my body has to line up with what the word of God says. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do everything I can to walk out my healing. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to stay in bed. Of course, if the doctor told you bed rest. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Follow doctor's orders. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to lay around all depressed. And say, I don't know what I'm going to do. No. I'm going to do something that I couldn't do before I pray. Does that make sense? Because I believe I receive the moment that I pray. So that is how faith works. So now, when you prayed for whatever it is that you were believing for, you are to receive it the moment that you pray and act like it is already done. Because it is already done in the spirit realm. You're just waiting for the natural process of time for it to manifest in the natural. Does that make sense? And that is why we say faith is not frustrating. So even though it has not showed up yet, faith is not frustrating, because when I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that the thing I prayed for, the thing that I believe, the thing that I know is already done in the spirit realm is going to manifest in my life at any moment. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So you still got that thing in your mind? So it's already done, right? Already done. Thing you've been believing for, it's already done. The thing you've been praying for, it's already done. The thing that you've been confessing, it's already done. Sometimes the reason things don't come to pass in our lives is because we forgot to believe that we received the moment that we pray, and we are hoping that it's eventually going to happen, when that is not what the word of faith teaches us. The Bible teaches us that I believe I receive right now that it's already done. And so I'm walking it out. All right. So you got it in your mind? You got it in your mind. All right. So God says, based on Ephesians 3 and 20, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that. So now he says, I want you to move in your thinking to a little bit better than what you were just thinking before. So I need y'all to work with me. I need you to start thinking a little bit bigger than you just start thinking before. You got it? All right. Because remember, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believe. So the only criteria to make it possible is for me to believe. Right? And so God says, I can do better than that. So how many went to the next level? All right? So when you go to that next level, God says, that's good, but just so you know, I can do better than that. And then when you get to another level of faith, because we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that, because I am able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Does that make sense? The power is in the word. And that's what you've got to understand, that the power is in the word. Everybody said the power is in the word. All right. So I fully expect God to move on my behalf. So my joy is not, because people will look at you and you're in a tough situation and they don't understand why you have a smile on your face. They don't understand why you're laughing. You're like, girl, I know what's going on in your life. You know what's going on with you? No. My joy is not based on where I am today, but based on the fact of I know that God has taken me somewhere. You got it? And because he has already declared my end from my beginning. Do you know what that means? That God went all the way. Okay, all right, so let's just say this is my beginning and that's my end. God went all the way to my end, and he says, she's going to be a mighty woman of God. He's going to be a mighty man of God, and this is going to be what they're going to be, and I declare this on their life, and I declare this on their life, and this is their end result. And then he backs up and makes sure that at pivotal seasons in your life that he puts favor over here, and he causes grace to be over here, and he causes mercy to be over here. And so what happens is we don't understand that all I have to do on the front end is just believe what God says and start walking in my destiny. And as I walk in my destiny, favor shows up. As I walk in my destiny, grace shows up. As I walk in my destiny, mercy shows up, because he's already declared my end from my beginning. Are y'all getting this on tonight? All right. Can I give you a good piece of advice? Let me give you a good piece of verb. If you're going to really live by faith and experience everything that God wants you to have, you know, you're going to have to learn how to stay away from small-minded people. Now, I could really just close the book right there and we could just all go home. You understand? If you don't get anything out of tonight, if you could learn how to just stay away from small-minded people, people that tell you it's never going to happen, people that tell you you're crazy for believing that way, people that tell you, child, I know somebody who went through something that you went through and they didn't make it. No, I don't know. No, why in the world would you try to start a business? You better just keep the little job, piece of job you got, because, you know, elite. No, you got to learn how to stay away from small-minded people. People will impose limitations on you, and the danger of them imposing limitations is that it hinders my expectation. When my expectation has been hindered, my faith has nothing to work with. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. So when you have, watch this, so when you've hindered my expectation, you have now defrauded my hope. And my thing is, who are you to tell me what I can have and cannot have, where I can go and cannot go, what I can do and cannot do, until you make your word and your Bible, I'm gonna follow this one. So I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Watch this now. Based on what the word of God says, and based on the resume that he already woke me up this morning, he woke me up the morning before that, and he woke me up the morning before that. He healed my body last time and the time before that. He protected my child last time and the time before that. So he's got a resume. So I just have to have faith in the faithfulness of God, that if he did it before, he's going to do it again. He's the same God right now. He's the same God back then. I choose to believe what God's word says. Does that make sense? That's why you got to, you know, you got to stay away from people that don't believe like you believe. All right? God is not too busy running the universe that he's not concerned about the intricate details of your life. God is concerned about the things that you're concerned about. God is concerned about the things that keep you up. God is concerned about the things that cause your mind to just go round and round in circles. And he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Jeremiah 29:11, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The New Living Translation says to give you a future and a hope. David was so mesmerized. He says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? I see how God put the stars in place and they don't fall. I see how the sun and, you know, and everything revolves the way it's supposed to. And when God tells something in the atmosphere to do it, it does it, and it doesn't disobey. He said, but when God sometimes tells us to do something, we sometimes disobey. And even though we sometimes don't do the things that we ought to do, there's something about this relationship that God has with man, that what is man that thou art so mindful of him? The Bible says that he made him just a little bit lower than the angels. If you really understand the translation is Elohim. And so really, I believe the translators just didn't want to put that. But he said, he put me just a little bit lower than God. Now, we are not God. We understand that. You got it. And so what am I saying? That no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that no matter what kind of trouble I get in, I serve a God that makes a commitment that he's never going to leave me, he's never going to forsake me, that he's going to be with me till the end. Does that make sense? No, I'm gonna keep going. So my confidence is in him, and my confidence is not in me. Does that make sense? Yeah, my confidence is in my confidence is, you know, when it comes to this ministry, my confidence is that God is doing what he's got to do in this ministry. You got it? My confidence is that God is opening doors and making ways. My confidence is that God is bringing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and that there's no room to receive the people. My confidence is that God is going to cause the budget to be met over and above every single month. You got it? My confidence is that God is going to send people, you got it, from all over that want to learn the word of faith, and their lives are going to be better. My confidence is that when they come in, that God is going to see to it that their marriages get better, that their children get better, that their money gets better, that every area of their life gets better. I don't put the pressure on me to make it happen, because that's not my part. My part is to believe, and if I believe, God will make it happen. Does that make sense? See, if we're not careful, sometimes we try to do God's job. And I don't want to do God's job, because, you know, he got a hard job. All right? Component of confidence. All right, everybody say number two. Component of confession. I might as well keep that water up here. Component of confession. You have what you say. Thank you. Everybody say, I have what I say. One more time. I have what I say. All right, it's a law. And we call it the law of confession. I have what I say. Most people have not made a connection between what they say and what they have in their lives. That is why we don't say stuff like, these children about to drive me crazy. You don't really want to go crazy, do you? You got it. I'm just about to lose my mind with this job. You don't really want to lose your mind. My head is hurting so bad it's about to bust wide open. You don't really want your head to bust wide open. And people say, no, you know what I mean. No, I know what you said. Because what happens is, I understand that there's no harm in what you're trying to say, but what you don't understand is there are spiritual laws that only work a certain way. And so you can't say, well, God, you understand what, you know what I mean. No, God says that it's not based on what you mean, but it's based on what you say. So I've got to have a discipline to only say what the word says. Proverbs 18 and 21 says death and life. There it is on the screen. Help me, class. Death and life are where? In the power of the what? So you mean that death and life is not in the power of the devil? Really? Well, it is the Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now watch Matthew 12 and 37. For by thy words thou shalt be
justified.
Okay, justified, declared right. And by thy words thou shalt be
condemned.
Okay, y'all know what condemned means, right? All right. So my words make me, or my words break me. So the key is to make sure that I only say what I want and I only say what the word says. Does that make sense? Yeah, if you're in a situation, in a marriage and, y'all just not seeing eye to eye, how many know even though, let's just back up. How many know in marriage you're not always going to see eye to eye? Yeah. How many know in marriage there are going to be disagreements? You got it. How many know in marriage there's going to be situations where both think that they're right? 3 days later, both still think that they're right. Am I right about it? So you have to learn to agree to disagree. What you cannot do, watch this now, is lose your agreement, you got it, by allowing something wrong to come up out of your mouth. Does that make sense? So you can't be like, oh, he just make me sick. You understand what I'm saying? And then, you say it where he can hear it. I make you say, and see, now the devil gets in it. Can you believe what she said about, she said that you make her sick. Does she not know everything you do to try to provide for this family? See, the devil, he a fool too. You understand what I'm saying? So he'll jump, if I was you, I would tell her, she don't know who she talking to, and she need to shut her mouth. Are you a man? If you're a man, you'll tell her, she don't know who she, next thing you don't know who you talk to. You better shut your mouth. And then he come up, can you believe he is talking to you like that? All the years of faithfulness that you have given to him, everything you have put up with his crazy tail, it has he lost his ever loving mind? If I was you, I would ask him, has he lost his ever loving mind? You got it? And tell him he ain't your daddy. And next thing, have you lost your ever loving mind? You ain't my daddy. Can you believe she said that? You better tell her she better be glad you ain't her dad. You better be glad I ain't your, and then round and round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. And we've lost agreement. We've lost agreement. We've lost agreement over who left the back door open. We lost agreement on who didn't take the dog out and why he messed up in the house. Because the Bible says it's a small fox that destroys the vine. So let's just be honest. In most marriages, not all, because I know some things are crazy, but in most marriages, it's not infidelity, you got it, that gets us out of faith. In most marriages, it's nothing crazy. In most marriages, it's just a small disagreement. But because of our pride or our ego or whatever it is, and we just can't let it go because I got to be right. Because I'm right. I don't care what she say, I'm right. I'm right. I'm always going to be right. I might act like I'm wrong just to satisfy her, but I'm going to be right. You can't do that. Right? Okay, let me tell you why. So in my house, in my marriage, watch this. Me or lady at any moment is willing. I never could tell which road you're supposed to take, the high road or the low road, but anyways, is it the high road? See, I always say the low road because of humility, but it's the high road. No Billy High. Okay, all right. So in our house, we choose to take the high road. So either one of us at any time can say, you know what? It was on me. You got it. Why? Because more is at stake than how we feel at that moment. And I'm not going to let the enemy pick my pocket of an incredible marriage, an incredible life, fussing over you about who didn't put gas in the car last time. Does that make sense? Because God, watch this, because that's what we don't understand. That is how it happens. You got it? And so don't get me wrong, I wasn't good at this in the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? But now that I'm 20 years into it, I'm learning how to flow with this thing. You got it? And so now we understand no more is at stake. And so we watch this. And if we can't agree on it, we just agree to disagree. And we just keep on moving. And watch this. And so even if, you know, I wish the lady was here. She's across the street at with the teens. You know, I forgot to tell you when I first came. When I was here on Sunday, you know, I had all this stuff across my forehead. I don't know if y'all noticed it because I had gotten sunburned. I've never gotten sunburned in my, so it was cracked up and my nose was all cracked up. So I went home and tried to get all that stuff off my nose and it bruised my nose. And I told her, I'm going to tell them what you did to me when I get to church. Anyways, y'all already know better than that. But anyways, we have made a commitment to one another that even if we have a moment of disagreement, we're not going to allow it to break our schedule. So if we was on our way to lunch, you got it, and then, you know, we got upset with each other, you got it. Come on, y'all understand? Like, y'all do get upset with each other sometimes, right? All right, you know, I hope you don't cuss each other out or anything like that, but... Bible says be angry, but don't sin. All right. Some people don't think cussing is sin. But anyways, don't say that. Please don't say that. All right. So what happens is even if we have a disagreement, you got it, we still keep our schedule. Why? Because we ain't going to let the devil win. Because if she says, well, babe, you want to go to lunch? No, I'm good. I got stuff to do at the church. I'm just going to grab me something on the way. No, we had already planned to have lunch. And so we keep our schedule to give the devil a black eye to let him know you're not going to get in between this. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. Okay, so you can only say what the word says. You know, if it's a bad situation in the marriage and some things are really going bad, number one, you need to get help. You got it. That's number one. You know, and number two, you still have to say what the word of God says. You got it. You just, you know, you can't call him or her fools and sorry and, you know, those kind of things because that's not what you want. So that's not what you say. If it's not what you want, it's not what you say. If it's not what you want, it's not what you say. You got it? And so you got to keep that. You got, because how many know no good thing dwells in the flesh? So my flesh wants to just have a heyday. And we've all messed up and made mistakes. You understand? And then, you know, you did it and then you, you know, it's like, I shouldn't have said that. Praise the Lord. You got it. But there comes a time you got to get to a point in life where you discipline yourself that I'm only going to say what the word of God says. All right. Okay. I'm good. When you understand the power of confession and the power of words, the way we can understand it best is we go back to the beginning. All right. In the beginning, God, right? And God said, and it was. And he said, and it was. Do you know that not any time through the Bible, any time God said, it always was? Do you know you never read God said and it wasn't? Right? So we go back to the beginning. So it teaches us a principle that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter how tough things are, God's word is holding everything in place. All right, everybody repeat after me. Say, God's word is holding everything in place. All right, so now when God said, let there be light, what happened? Light showed up. But if you read before that, does it not say that the Spirit of God moved upon and that it was dark and it was deep and it was void? He never allowed what he saw to determine what he said. Too many times in life, we allow what we see to determine what we say. Does that make sense? You got it. And so, no, watch this. He only said what he wanted. He wanted light, so he didn't see the darkness and say, oh, my me. You know, because he is God, so he can't say, oh, my God. You know? So he didn't say, oh, my me. You got it. It's dark. Watch this. Oh, man. Faith, watch this. The fact was that it was dark. But faith, watch this, doesn't deny facts. It just chooses to overlook facts based on truth. All right? So I don't deny a fact if there's something going on in my body. You know, so I don't deny it. I'll go to the doctor. But the reason I keep my confession is because I overlook the facts based on truth that Jesus took 39 stripes and I'm already healed. So he never allowed what he saw to determine what he said. All right. The Bible says there's a study that says scientists were spending all these millions of dollars to figure out why the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. Well, and you know, they can stop spending all that money. They can send the rest of the money to Without Limits Christian Center, 102 Washington Post Road, because we already understand why it's doing what he's doing. You got it? Because what most people don't understand is that when God says something, unless he revokes his word, whatever he said is going to come to pass, because God's word is holding everything in place. So the moment that God said, let there be light, light took off. And because God has not revoked his word, light is still speeding. Does that make sense? And the reason that is so important is that in your life, God's word is holding everything in place. So whatever God said about you and about your future and about your marriage and about all these other things, because God has not revoked his word to the degree that you will just believe and keep on believing and keep on confessing, it's got to come to pass, because when God says it, it's got to come to pass. It's got to be so. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, all right. No. Number three. All right. Component of consistency. Never, ever give up. What'd I say? That's right. Never, ever give up. When I'm walking by faith, I will have what I call days of contradiction. Days of contradiction is when my current situation is not matching my current confession. I'm declaring by his stripes I'm healed, but I have pain in my body. Day of contradiction. I'm declaring that all my needs are met according to heaven's best, but I need some cash right now. Day of contradiction. Does that make sense? I'm declaring that my marriage is better, and it's better than ever. You got it? But it's on the rocks right now. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but watch this. But that's why I can't change my confession, and I must be consistent in it. So I will have days of contradiction. In these days of contradiction, I can never let it shake my faith, because I always have to stick with what the Word of God says. All right? What holds us back from sticking to what the Word of God says? Fear. You got it. Unbridled emotions. Listening to negative people. You got it. You got to learn how to stick with what the Word of God says. All right. Facts change every day, but the truth of God's Word stays the same. So it might be a fact that you're experiencing, an ailment in your body. You got it. But if you stick with truth and keep saying what truth says, it'll change the fact and your body can be healed. Make sense? All right. It's all about having the right perspective, that what really matters has not changed. And what has not changed is the Word of God. And the Bible says that he always calls me to triumph, and he always calls me to win in Christ. So that's why I tell you, you're winning even when it looks like you're losing. That's why I tell you, when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable, right? That's why I tell you, if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. And if you keep swinging, you're going to hit something, right? Why? Because I understand the power of being disciplined and being consistent with the Word of God, that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. You got it. It's a spiritual law that if I keep saying what the Word says and keep saying what the Word says, that the Word has to manifest in my life. The Bible says he always calls me to triumph. Did I give you all that scripture? 2 Corinthians 2 and 14? Okay, so 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. He didn't say who sometimes calls me to triumph. He didn't say, there it is, there we go. Now thanks be unto God, which always. Now, where do we find that? In the Word of God, right? Well, I know 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, but we find that in the Word of God, right? You got it. Does the Bible say that the Word never changes? You got it. It's just like rain that came down, returned not void. It will accomplish whatever thing is set out to do, right? So if the Bible says that I always triumph in Christ, either I'm going to believe that I always triumph in Christ, or I'm not going to believe it. But to the degree I make it up in my mind that I believe that it's always going to happen, you got it, what the word says, that it will happen in my life, to the degree I stick with faith and don't get in fear. 751. One of the issues is we have what I like to call flawed criterias. Flawed criteria is that I cannot be successful if I don't go to college. Now, I believe in college. Let me just put that out there. I believe in education. My niece is at UNCC right now, right? Yeah, so I believe in it. You got it? But the Bible does not say that that's the only way you can prosper. Does that make sense? So I have to have a balance, y'all understand. You know, so I believe in college, believe our kids should go to college, you know, unless God has other plans, because God has our own paths and plans for our lives. Like I went into the military. Does that make sense? All right. Flawed criteria. Let's come up with another flawed criteria. Another flawed criteria tells me that the only way I can succeed is if I work this kind of job. Flawed criteria. You know, I was a mechanic in the Marine Corps. There's no way I can be successful being a mechanic. Why not? It's a flawed criteria. You got it? And so what happens is in our lives, the enemy will put things in our path that will look like they're stumbling blocks, that will look like they're roadblocks, to try to make you think what's not possible for your life. When the Bible already said all things are possible if you just believe. So now the goal is that door. All right. So now, Joe, get up and stand in the way of that door. You can stay right where you are. You can just stand straight out. Okay. Boom. Right there. So now, if I'm not careful, the enemy will tell me that now it's not possible for me to get to the door because there's something that's standing in the way of the door that's bigger than me. Flawed criteria. You got it? Because how many know that in your life, to the degree that you will believe that God will do whatever it is he's got to do, he'll open a door, he'll make a way, he'll create a new door, he'll do whatever he's got to do. Does that make sense? All right, Benny, you go get in the way. Okay, so I start, you got to get this. I got 7 minutes. You got to get this. So there was an obstacle that is still there. But I got a hold of faith, and I said, okay, God can do it. So what does the enemy do? He puts another obstacle in the way. And now says, not only do you have one obstacle, but you have two obstacles. You understand? Now, you don't have the qualifications back there to get that job. And number two, there is a program you can go through, but it's $5,000. You don't have $5,000. So now flawed criteria teaches me that there's no way I can get through to where I'm trying to get through because I don't have the money I need, and neither do I have the qualifications. Melvin, get in the way. So I come to church on Sunday. You got it. And pastor teaches the word and says, wait a minute, that's right. All things are possible if I just believe. You got it? That I serve a God that can do anything but fail. That God is big. So now it doesn't matter that I don't have the qualifications. And God can raise up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper, to get me the money to get there. But because it hasn't showed up yet, the enemy tells you, and also you don't know anybody to connect you to that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because how many know that's how the devil does in your mind sometime? You got it? It's called the fiery darts of the wicked one. He shoots this mental thought, and then right behind it, he shoots this mental thought, and then this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to be pondering on that first thought, and before you can release that first thought, he shoots that second thought, and before you can release that second thought, you got to, he shoots with a third thought. That's why the writer says you have to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So how many know that can be a full-time job, right? And so now, watch this, I don't have the qualifications. Now I don't have the money. Now I don't know anybody, you got it, that can help me get to where I need to go. Does that make sense? Come on, pops. Yes, sir, you're going to stand right in front of Melvin. All right. So now, watch this. So now, I went to church on another Sunday, and man, pastor was teaching that word again, and anytime you hear the word, faith comes alive in your heart. So I don't care about the qualifications. I don't care about the money. I don't care that I'm not connected. All things are possible to him that believe. Pastor said you got to start knocking on the door and see if God won't open the door. You got to start believing that God can do anything but fail. You got to know that you serve a big God. You got it? And so I'm believing now. You got it? So what I do is, man, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go make something happen. You got it? And then I go, watch this now, and watch this. And I said, I'll get me a loan to go there. I go to get a loan. And I didn't even know it, but my credit is jacked up. And now the devil said, it's all over now. Because you don't have the qualifications. And you don't have the money. And you ain't connected to nobody. And your credit is jacked up. You got it. So what you need to do is you need to make it up in your mind that the place you are is a place you will always be. And that is a trick of the enemy to always make you think that where you are is where you are always going to be. But the writer says, let every man and every devil be a lie and let God be true. That God is greater than any situation. He's greater than any trouble. He's greater than any trial. You understand what I'm saying? Come here, Pat. God says, you don't understand my ways. They are far past finding out. Now you come over here with me. So God says, this is why you need to be in covenant with me. You got it? What did I tell you on Sunday? If I live right, if I give right, and if I walk by faith, God will bless me beyond measure. Does anybody believe that in the house? So God says, giving is not about me just getting money from you. Absolutely not. Giving is about you being in covenant with me, where I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. And you know, we can go all the way down. So giving, I will protect your children. I will do all kinds of things. You heard something crazy happen down at the daycare. You leave the job. You rush all the way down there. Find out, man, your baby is fine. Why? My baby is fine because I am in covenant with God, and he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And in my pathway is life and not death. I take the shield of faith and quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Great is the peace of my children because they are taught of the Lord. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in their lives. This year is going to be their best year yet. As a matter of fact, my children are leaders and not followers. They are excelling to the next level. Teachers are surprised at their success. Why? Because I'm in covenant with God. That's why he says, watch this, that's why he says, when you give, I move from Hebrews, 2 Corinthians 9. I'm able to make all grace abound toward you. Got it? So that you have all sufficiency in all things. Giving causes you to tap into the all sufficiency of God. All right? So giving is not just about getting money back. Giving is about putting me in covenant with God so that every need of mine can be met. He says, if I sow sparingly, I'll reap sparingly. But if I sow bountifully, I'll reap bountifully. Every man, as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of compulsion. Compulsion means somebody made you do it. You ain't never been to Without Limits and anybody ever made you do anything. I know they got lies out there, but we don't care about lies. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So for God loveth a cheerful giver. So here's the principle, that when I give cheerfully, the promise says that he's able to make all grace abound toward me. Grace is the favor of God. It is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. God says you will be standing right next to somebody at Chipotle. You understand what I'm saying? And watch this. And you are minding your own business. And he gets a bowl. You got it? And he gets a bowl with chicken and lettuce and cheese. And he notices that you are getting a bowl and all it has is chicken and lettuce and cheese. And he thought that it was pretty funny that you got the same thing that he got. And you're not even trying to talk to him because you're just trying to get your bowl because you only got a 20-minute break and you got to get back. But what you don't know is that God is raising up somebody to use their power, their ability and their influence to help you prosper. It could be an angel, so you got to make sure that you treat everybody right. entertaining angels' underwear. Y'all know the scripture, right? All right. So what happens is, he says, you got chicken, lettuce, and cheese. And I'm like, yeah, I always get chicken, lettuce, and cheese. He's like, man, I always get chicken, lettuce, and cheese, too. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he wants to keep talking, right? And so I'm like, okay, I mean, you know. And he's like, well, what's your name? Oh, man, you know, what do you do? Oh, well, I actually just, you know, work over here, you know, but I'm trying to make some things happen over here. Over where? Over here. Oh, well, what are you trying to make happen over there? Oh, I'm trying to do this and do that, but see, I'm not qualified. And then not only am I not qualified, they do have this program they can put me through, but I don't have the money. And I don't really know anybody that can help me get through it. And I was going to get a loan, but, you know, something happened with my credit, and then it all got jacked up. You got it? And then he says, hey, can you meet me there in 30 minutes? You got it? You know, can you just meet me at the front office in 30 minutes? And you're like, can I meet you? Say, can you just trust me on it? Can you meet me at the office in 30 minutes? You know, and so I'll say, I'll go to the office and just tell them that, you know, that you're asking for Patrick Beck. You got it? And so then I go to the front and then I get there in 30 minutes and I say, I have a meeting with Patrick Beck. And the lady behind the thing is like, you don't have a meeting with Dr. Beck. And I'm like, no, I don't have a meeting with Dr. Beck. I have a meeting with Patrick Beck, you know. And she's like, no, I'm telling you, you do not, because I run his schedule and there's no way. He's a very busy man. And all of a sudden, he comes walking out. Hey, man, how you doing? Come on back. All right, let's head that way. So now he takes me back to his office. Got it? And because I don't have this flawed criteria, I'm passing this. I'm passing this. I'm passing this, because God just put me with the man that can override everything and give me the position, and I start on Monday, all because I did not have a flawed criteria. When you get to the point that you will choose to believe God over every situation, over every struggle, over every trial, on everything that's not like God, weapons may form, but they will not prosper. You might bend, but you will not break. You got to trust. You got to believe. You got to confess. You got to walk the word out. You got to trust. You got to believe. You got to confess. You got to walk the word out. And if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, when your body don't feel like it, when you're frustrated, when you're angry, if you keep saying it, it's got to come to pass. Thank you, brothers. So don't have a flaw. Stand up, everybody in the room. So don't have a flawed criteria. Does not matter to me how many things stand in your way. You serve a God that's bigger than everything. Guy was come to my office, and him and his wife came, said they wanted to meet with me. And they came in, and something was wrong because they were crying. And so I was like, oh, you know, what's going on? And she says, we just left the doctor, and they say he's got cancer. And told me what stage it was, and they just, you know, it just wasn't good, you know. And I said, okay. And so I said, okay, well, we believe the report of the Lord. And she wasn't thinking about the report of the Lord right then. Because, you know, you get a bad report. If you're not disciplined in faith, you know, you get emotional. And I'm not knocking that, because, you know, bad reports, I get it. But you do have to get to a point in your life that when a bad report comes, you're not moved by what you see, only by what you believe. And so I told him, I said, well, no, we're going to believe what God's word says. And I'm going to be in the fight with you. You got it? And if I say I'm going to be in the fight with you, I'm going to be in the fight with you. You got it? And so, you know, they said, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're going to pray. And so I went over and I laid hands on him and I said, Father, come here, Joe. I went over on right here. I went over on him, and this is what I did not do. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And I'm not knocking that, but listen, that's not me. Does that make sense? So I'm not knocking that. That's not me. So I said, Father, I just thank you right now. We believe you, and we believe your report. I thank you that Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, my brother is healed right now. So even right now, Father, I thank you for the healing virtue flowing through his body from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Father, I thank you he shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I thank you that he will have a testimony for the rest of his life because of this. We give you praise for it now. We believe it and we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I go back and I sit back down. Thank you, Joe. And I said, okay, what else? And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they're like, that's all you're going to do? Either we're going to believe the word or we're not going to believe the word. And to the degree that we will believe the word, anything becomes possible for us. You got it? It wasn't 6 months later. Went from a stage 3 or almost 4 to going to, not Duke, Chapel Hill. Going for something else, but they had to do some kind of scan before he went in to do something else, and went in for the scan, and they could not find anything at all anywhere. Now, you know I got another call, but they wasn't crying on that call. The only thing they messed up was, Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. I am a word of faith teacher. I'm going to believe it. So let me tell you, if God could cause the cancer to vanish just like that, how much more can he do whatever it is that you need him to do? If you believe, all things are possible. Let me tell you the issue. Sometimes we stop believing. Sometimes we stop believing because the process was too long or because of this happened or that happened. And if you did, I'm not trying to get on you. You understand what I'm saying? All I'm saying is get back in faith and start believing again. Some of you all need to pick up some of your dreams and start believing again. Some of you all need to pick up that confession book and start confessing again. And to the degree you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what and stay away from small-minded people. You got it? Allow the Holy Spirit to be the loudest voice in your life. And to the degree you do that, you will see God do amazing things in your life. I refuse to believe that he was the God of miracles. When he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I refuse to believe all the things that we read in the Bible. The God is still that same God. And it's to the degree that you believe. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you how it's pierced our hearts, oh God. And I thank you for the spirit of faith that's prevalent in the room right now. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack my brothers and my sisters in their minds, in their thoughts, in their emotions, in their bodies, in their marriages, in their finances, with their children. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for making every crooked place straight in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for miracles on top of miracles and for favor on top of favor and for grace on top of grace and for mercy on top of mercy, oh God. Father, I thank you for opening doors and making ways. I thank you for the floodgates of favor being